Okay, welcome back to the Runner Retreats podcast, where we love to chat all things running, and we're also going to keep you up to speed with everything that we've got going on from a retreats perspective as well. We had our London Marathon, not the London Marathon, we had a marathon workshop in London at the weekend, so we'll tell you all about that. We'll also tell you about the up and coming retreats we've got, because we're super excited that we're going to be in Morzine next week. But we're also this week going to delve deep into the marathon itself, because as you will notice, I'm joined by somebody different on this month's podcast. So welcome, Kirsty. No problem at all. It'd be a pleasure to have you. For the ladies amongst you, Matt is officially off the market. We mentioned that last time. He is gone. He has married Lucy and Matt is on his honeymoon. But truth be told, you'll see a lot of varied guests over the coming months on the Runner Retreats podcast. It won't just be myself and Matt doing the delivery all the time. We've got plenty of guests, plenty of coaches, and lots of special people and special stories to bring you. So we're going to start with Kirsty's story, which is about her journey to the marathon, Manchester Marathon to be precise. Before we do, I just wanted to remind people of the retreats we have coming up, because we always want you to be aware of those in case you want to join us on one of those weekends. So we do have the Morzine retreat, which is now fully booked up. We fly out there next Wednesday, but our retreaters will join us on the Saturday. And they will join us on the 23rd till the 30th of July. And then after that, it is the bank holiday weekend in August, where we're back at Loughborough for the performance retreat. That's the 26th to the 29th. So if you fancy a bank holiday with a bit of a difference and you fancy learning a lot more about how to run faster and how to improve your performance and looking at things like running technique and physiology and the science behind the sport, then come join us at Loughborough. The exciting news at Loughborough, and Kirsty's been working hard on this behind the scenes, is to get us an exclusive day pass. So people are going to be able to join us for one day and one day only at that performance weekend. And we'll put out a lot more information about that. That'll give you the chance to join in our sessions for a full day at the performance weekend in Loughborough. And again, learn from our expert coaches, as well as the specialists who we have there. And then finally, to cap off 2022, before we head into 2023, we will be up in the lakes in October. And we can't wait for that one. We went to the lakes last year and we'll be back there this year. And that'll be our final retreat of 2022. And then we're going to head into the new year with plenty more workshops and retreats to come. So just to get into the swing of things, I'm firstly going to welcome Kirsty. You notice I'm going to swing this microphone over her way, because Ian, if you are listening, I did take your advice and got ourselves a microphone. But we have figured out that in order for the quality to be good, we've got to speak right into it. We want you not to miss a trick. So I'm going to hand over to Kirsty, and I'm firstly going to welcome her, but I'm going to throw a question at her just to get us started. So Kirsty, what I'm going to say is firstly, welcome. But secondly, we want to know a lot more about your marathon journey. Before we do, I want you to introduce yourself to our Runner Retreats listeners and give them an insight into your background and a bit more about not just the marathon, but the triathlon background as well. So over to you.
Thank you for the introduction, Lewis. Much appreciated. And yeah, really, really happy to be on this podcast talking about life as a mum, really, and life journey towards the marathon and how that all happened and how that all came about. So where to start? Basically, I started as a triathlete back in 2006 now, so it's a long time ago. I always loved running, but triathlon was my thing, really. I love swimming, biking and running, so I thought, oh, why not put it all together and do triathlon? But marathon always kind of held a bit of a special place in my heart. I actually did my first major sort of challenge in 2006, and that was the London Marathon. So that's many, many years ago now. So I actually started as a marathoner and then moved into triathlon. I'm a coach, so I coach triathlon and I also coach running. And I work for both runners retreats, working on the amazing retreats that we do as a coach. I'm excited to be going out to Loughborough to do the Loughborough retreat in a few months' time, and then on to the Lake District. So that's really exciting for this year. But then I also do running coaching as well. So sort of triathlon and running coaching, but doing the running myself. Marathon. So why London? Why did I start with London back in 2006? I think London was the big one. I think it was always, everyone wanted to do it. It's always the one that when you thought of marathon, that was it, you know, you do London. But fast forward to after having my toddler, my child, London never really appealed to me. I think because there were so many other amazing marathons out there. And actually kind of then doing London again wasn't really a big thing for me. So yeah, I thought I'd choose a slightly different one. And that's why I sort of started with Manchester and off we go, really.
Off we go. Pull the microphone back across. You'll notice I'm scribbling notes. I've actually stolen Kirsty's notebook. So there was a big debate in the office about me graffitiing on Kirsty's notebook and whether she'd be able to handle that. But the reason I want to make notes is because I'm going to touch on a few things that Kirsty says and make sure we don't miss anything. And for those of you listening who aren't a mum, you know, like myself, stick around because there's still going to be a lot of useful tips for you, particularly around things like time management, how you balance your time with this busy lifestyle. You know, new dads who are out there, you'll also be experiencing the same thing. And Kirsty's partner, Phil, he obviously still trains as well and has to balance his time. So we'll talk a lot about that. But we'll also, as we always do, look at the goal setting behind and the motivation behind it and how you actually train. And Kirsty's going to tell us a lot more about that. A couple of things I picked up on, Kirst. 2006, I was thinking, God, that's when Gemma and I got together. So you pretty much started your love affair with running and triathlon at the same time that we started, I wouldn't say a love affair, but we started our relationship. London, you absolutely nailed on. It's a bucket list for a lot of people, especially a lot of our listeners who, you know, message in and say about getting in the London ballot. My quick question to you, was it a ballot place? No, wasn't a ballot. Standalone place. So if you are trying for the ballot, keep trying, but don't forget there's loads of amazing charities out there. People sometimes can go for Good for Age as well. It's another good way of getting in there. But London is coming up in October. But last year, quite rightly, Manchester and London were October. So people getting confused about maybe the Manchester timings. The Manchester one in April isn't the one we're talking about today. It's actually the October one, which was 2021, which is the one Kirsty trained for. On that note, when we go into training, because I'm going to go straight into the training, because I think it's a really popular topic. Training-wise, how did you set your own training? Because you coached yourself. And what sort of things did you have to consider?
So my training for Manchester, was it for Manchester you asked the question?
Yes.
Yeah, so for Manchester, not for London, but the first one for this one I've just done. Basically, we had two key focuses from a running perspective. So I still continued to train as a triathlete. So I did a lot of swimming, I did a lot of cycling, because for me, injury management and consistency, so turning up day in, day out, week after week, and consistently getting those miles was, for me, the biggest thing. So I could only really run 3 to 4 times a week, which in some people's marathon schedules is probably quite small, really. But I cross-trained, so I cycled lots and I swam lots. The two big things for me was the long run. So that was a non-negotiable. That had to happen and that at some point in that week. And I also then did a low intensity tempo session, and that also had to happen within that week. Now, when I say week, I actually work on a 10-day cycle, so I don't fit everything into 7 days, which I will touch on in a bit. And the easy running then fitted around that. Now, you're probably thinking, well, where's the speed come into it? I did a lot of my intensity stuff on the bike. So I actually did a lot of turbo or indoor sessions using my bike to get the heart rate up, mainly because I know my body and my legs quite well in terms of niggles and injuries. And it just wasn't, I didn't think it was appropriate for me to do that. So I took my intensity stuff on the bike and in the pool actually as well, but more so on the bike.
So that's really interesting because a lot of people ask us about how you get speed stuff into marathon programs. And I use the term speed, not literally, because I think if you look at the definition of speed, it's a lot different to what distance runners class as speed work. But I guess for you, it came down to I've written down here, knowing your body and knowing what works for you. Now, a lot of our runners run with or are part of a coaching team, so they get guidance from a coach. But sometimes you've got to be able to trust yourself in that as well. So cross training. But one thing you touched on, and we've spoken about this a lot before in the podcast, is not becoming obsessed with a 7-day cycle. We are very habitual as runners, as athletes, as triathletes. And we fall into this mindset of everything's got to go in 7 days. Of course, we've grown up that way, so why wouldn't it? But as coaches, we try and, you know, not enforce it onto our runners, but we try and encourage them to get away from that mindset. So you mentioned a 10-day cycle. What does that actually look like? And what does that, you know, what do we have to consider when we're putting things into a different cycle? How does it actually work?
So I guess in a way, my week, I look at it as 10 days as a week. So it was, I trained for 10 days and I'd have a rest day. Now, that was kind of the how I worked from it as a plan perspective. However, life threw things in there, which I had to shift things. So, okay, in an ideal world, it went to 10 days and then I rested. But things like lack of sleep, bad nutrition, all of that stuff that, you know, we all get on a you know, sometimes on a weekly basis or even on a daily basis, depending on how well the child sleeps, that things had to shift. So 10 days allowed me to move things around, and that worked really well for me.
The lack of sleep and, you know, unpredictability, I think not just as being a mum or a dad for people at home, but genuinely across the board, life throws unpredictable things at us. What tips have you got for people at home? How do you manage that?
I think firstly was the acceptance that actually life has changed, and, you know, it's not the same as when I had a child. So that was the first big thing, was accepting that, you know, you have another little person in your life who relies 100% on you. I know that you've got your help with your partner and everything else, but, you know, from a mother, there is a lot of pressure in that perspective, so I guess, in a way, yeah, I think acceptance was the biggest thing, really.
I'm going to grab the mic and just go a bit deeper into that, because I think you're absolutely right. Sometimes we don't accept change, and as humans, we don't sometimes accept things like injuries and niggles, and we have to, and the key word I've got down here that you're kind of referring to, I think, is being able to adapt and be willing to adapt. But when we see a schedule, we often see it as a fixed schedule, and we have that almost that mindset of, I need to tick everything off that's been set. But I assume for you, it came down to, actually, I'm going to have to be a lot more flexible with this plan. And I guess another question is, did you actually have your plan written down because you were coaching yourself, or did you just go day to day and on that 10-day cycle?
No, I absolutely had it written down. So in my head, I have to work with a plan and a schedule. However, having it written down allowed me to move things around. So funnily, I had the Sunday long run, but I also had the ability to move that to a Monday if Saturday night or vice versa, whatever, was poor sleep. So I always had that flexibility to move things around. The key sessions, you know, that I knew that I had to have more intensity, I needed more recovery, or I couldn't literally do a long 20-mile run or 2 hours sleep. So, yeah.
Just to clarify, you moved a Sunday long run, just for the listeners.
I moved a Sunday long run. I kept Mondays free, just in case, as a backup. When I say kept Mondays free, Monday was always like a cross-training gym session, so I could adapt to things like that. But it worked quite well, actually, although, funnily, running on a Monday is really hard from a mindset point of view. I did have a couple of real bad long runs, and to be honest, they are character building. So I think for a marathon, if you do have a few bad runs in training, it actually really does work in your favor, because, yeah, it really does teach you a lot about yourself. But Monday is a harder day to do long runs on.
I personally think Monday is one of the hardest days to train on. I actually tried to flip my mindset a little bit. I never used to look forward to going to work on a Monday. I don't think many people do. But I now think, I honestly can say it's my favourite day of the week, because I feel like it's the day where I get organised, ready for the week ahead. And just flipping that mindset has really helped me. But I used to really struggle with the Monday after the long run. And I think a lot of people in the same boat, where they've probably done the long run or had a session at the weekend because we have most time, genuinely. So that's why it goes there. It's not that it's a religion, you know, like we all go to running church on a Sunday and do a long run for however long we do, although most people do. It generally does come back to that. Well, it's the time in that 7-day cycle when everybody has the most time. So you're quite right. You can adapt it and you can move it. On that note, I guess, and when we talk about long run, when we go up to the marathon, people ask us a lot, we got this a lot at the weekend, how long is the long run for a marathon? What did you get up to in terms of distance for the long run? But also, how did you build that up, considering that you weren't just coming back from something you'd been through before? This was the first time for you, having given birth to Mila and then having to not start from scratch, but think about a lot of new things within your training model.
Believe me, I didn't have to start from scratch. It felt like a very long journey back. So I probably didn't get back into running as fast as what in my head I thought I would get back to. I think when you see all these things on Instagram, you know, people get birth and then back 6 weeks later they're running 10K. So, you know, that was never going to happen. And I'm very fortunate to see a physio who I've been seeing for many, many years now, who was very, very good and very guiding in that. I actually had an abdominal separation. So running straight away was not going to happen. And getting back in the pool was going to be number one. And then strength training on top of that, and then cycling, and then running. You know, running was down the line, many months down the line. But you know, his biggest thing was, you know, you spent 9 months carrying a child and your body's changed in those 9 months. You need to take those 9 months afterwards to get back the body into its strongest position to then be able to run. It didn't take me 9 months to run, but it probably took me up to 6 months, like past Christmas, really, because I had my daughter in the July to actually start running again. And it was long and slow. But I spent a lot of time in the gym, like a lot of strength training was so important with the guidance of the physio and other advice from external people as well.
And when you started to train for Manchester, so Manchester was then the October, so you got back running in the new year and you built up other forms of training before that. And I think that's really important to emphasize that message to people that if you can't run, there are usually things that you can do, and focusing on those things that you can do is important because you can build up fitness on a pool or a bike or cross trainer, but you certainly can build up your strength. As runners, we sometimes neglect that. And I think it's really important for people to understand that when you can't run, it's not the end of the world, as much as it feels like it. There are other things that you can do. So sometimes you need to think about what you can do. We say get rid of the T of can't, and focus on what you can do instead, which is what Kirsty did very well there. So then quickly before I hand it back to you, did you enter Manchester when you were back running?
Yes.
Yeah, so you entered Manchester when you were back running, so kind of I'd imagine January, February time, and that gives you around about 8 or 9 months to build up. So what did that build up look like from a running perspective? And you mentioned you did a lot of the cross training, and again, did the long run get up to the 20 miles that everybody says that you have to do? Because again, that's a little bit of a religious thing as well in running.
It actually got up to 21, but that was by accident because I got lost.
What was on the plan?
20.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't touched on it, but I have done two Ironmans and various half Ironmans, and we've never gone up to race distance when I've done those longer top course races. And to be honest, from a mental perspective, it doesn't bother me at all. I think I've trained up to 18 miles when I did my first Ironman, 18 again, or 19, my second. And then I was comfortable with going to 20. I know a lot of people might go longer than that, but I did probably two 20 milers. So actually, and then I did quite a lot of 18 milers, 19 milers. So it wasn't like I just did 120 and that was it, me done. I did do a few longer runs. Each one of them felt very different. It's hilarious how one, so yeah, seeing how one run can be so different to another.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I remember seeing you in the lakes and you got to the point where we were on the retreat in the lakes and Kirsty was doing a long run and she was wanting to get to a set distance. And actually you'd said, actually, I'm not going to hit the distance I thought I had planned because it was hillier run than you thought. It was harder than you thought. And again, it shows that being adaptive is so important. But you were just doing like this out and back to make up the miles. And I was like, that is, you know, a classic marathon. Even people get to a dawn, they've got like 0.1 to round up and they're running around the street. And, you know, as runners, we sometimes get into that mindset. But you were doing it from a perspective, I need to get the volume in. And it was great to see. But you're absolutely bang on. Whenever I've trained for marathons, obviously Manchester with Gemma, like 1 week that long run can feel amazing. And you think, all right, I guess any type of training can. And then literally the next day or a couple of days later, you're like, what the heck has happened to me? I feel like a completely different runner. And it's a really good point to note that you're not going to feel amazing every day. That journey isn't linear. There's lots of ups and downs in the road towards it. And if you're preparing for a marathon this autumn or in the spring, I'm sure a lot of you will be, you're not just going to feel great all the time. And that's fine to accept that. In terms of the end result, I know what the end result was. We'll come on to that in a second. Did you go into it with a specific goal? A lot of people have time goals. Is that something that you worked towards? If you didn't, what goals did you have in mind? And how did you know kind of what pace to aim for? Because that's a common question we get.
So my goal originally was never about time. It was to complete it, enjoy it, get my nutrition right, and yeah, just have a great time, because it's been such a long time since I've done a marathon. You know, I've always done them on the back of Ironman racing, and they're not pleasant, they're not fun, they're just survival. So actually doing a marathon standalone at speed, you know, I was quite excited about. I didn't set any, or I had no idea really what I was capable of. I only really started to think about the time once I got the longer runs done or started doing. And when I say long runs, I'm talking like 17, 18 miles, you know, how long I could consistently run at that pace for. And yeah, I kind of had a bit of an inkling in the back of my head when I started, probably a week out, but to be honest, I thought, as long as I beat my London time, I didn't train like 2006, I don't mind, you know, I'm really not bothered.
So what was the London time compared to then the Manchester outcome?
So the London was 3 hours and 58.
Yeah.
And the Manchester was 3:31.
Nice.
I beat the London time. And I had much more fun in Manchester.
And I will vouch for that because I've seen Kirsty at around 23 miles, still with a big smile on the face and still running very, very strongly at that point. To kind of round that off and to round the whole story off, I think it's really important that people often chase times down. That's a really good example of focusing on the process and you getting back to the marathon, but actually not putting too much expectation on yourself. But also just having that little bit of motivation of, I do want to beat my London time, but not being too obsessed with it. And just knowing that actually I've got myself back to a marathon start line, and that's fantastic. And that, I guess that was the purpose behind going towards the marathon, was to get yourself fit. And I know Lucy, one of our team, you know, she did Edinburgh Marathon and did very well for Edinburgh. And she had a wedding a week later or something, which was absolutely ridiculous. But I know Lucy wanted to keep fitting the build for the wedding. And some people have those goals of using marathons for different goals. So I think it's really important not just to get fixated on time goals, not to put too much pressure on yourself. Enjoy the process and also enjoy the day as you did. Brill, I'm going to put you on the spot, Kirst. We've never done this before. But I'm going to ask you for 3 quick fire tips that you would give anybody running a marathon in the autumn or the spring this year. So like if you had 3 top coaching tips, what would you give them?
So I'll start with on the actual day of the marathon. And this was the biggest. So notoriously, I'm bad at starting races too hard. So I'll go off like too fast. And you know, as much as I practice and I preach it as a coach, in practice and as a runner, I don't do it. That was the biggest thing for the marathon for me, was like, that's the only goal I have for this race, is not to go off too hard. I had it written on my hand and I didn't. I did the first 4 or 5 miles were the slowest miles I've done in the whole race. So that ticks my one goal for that for that marathon. And I think, yeah, that's probably my first tip is when you have a goal, write it down. So write it on your hands in that race. Make sure you do it.
So a few in there, there's writing the goal down. Sorry, yeah, I'll grab the mic
just in case it's not picking it up over that side. So write the goal down, stick it on your hand. Yeah, Gemma does that. She sticks some little motivational quotes on the hand. Pacing, I think, is a good tip as well. Not going off too hard. It's easy to do when you're surrounded by the crowds and a lot of other people as well. And I guess I would say that comes into this, which you're kind of describing, but you never touched on in detail, is stick to the plan that you've got. A lot of people do their training plan to perfection, and the only bit of the plan they get wrong is actually on the day. They can't stick to that plan. And that is still part of the process. And I guess the final one to throw in is the fact that enjoy the process, which is exactly what you said before, just go and embrace it, the journey and the marathon day itself. Fantastic. Okay, just to round things off, because it's been a really good episode and I hope you've enjoyed it and I hope you've taken something from it, whether you are a mum training for a marathon or whether you're just somebody training for a marathon who's had lots of useful tips and tricks from Kirsty there. If you have got a marathon, what we'd like you to do is get in touch if you've got any questions about your build-up. So some people get in touch, you got in touch last time to let us know about the mic and say it might be better audio. So thank you for that, Ian. Denise always gets in touch. Andy's great at keeping in touch as well. So if you are listening and you've got any specific questions that you want to throw to us about the marathon, then send them our way because we'd love to offer our help. And that leads me back to our marathon workshop at the weekend, which was fantastic. And our marathon workshop attendees, the athletes who came there, the 25 of them, are tuning into this. Just a big thank you from us. Again, some of you have sent some questions in and we've got back to you on those. But it was a fantastic day. If you have got a marathon in the spring, we're hoping to have another marathon workshop in 2023. So that'll be around January time. So very much watch this space as Kirsty is on the organising, so no pressure on Kirst. A big thank you from me to Kirsty for joining us for the first time. We'll be back next month after we've been to Morzine. We may even attempt to bring you that episode from Morzine overlooking Lake Montreal. But in the meantime, yes, keep enjoying your running, keep enjoying your training, and we'll see you all again very soon.